I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Where do Senators Obama and McCain stand on the big issues in science and technology? Some academics asked, and the candidates answered. Plus, what does a sneaker company have in common with Wikipedia? Our tech contributor Mario Armstrong has the information. Hi, Mario.
Hey, Farai, how are you?
I'm doing great. So, you know, the candidates are always putting out these position papers on their websites. And, you know, sometimes they've got a lot of information, sometimes not so much. But some scientists stepped up to the plate to ask some questions. What did they ask?
Man, you're absolutely right. They kind of stepped up to the plate. And I've been tracking this process since late last year. And it's called Science Debate 2008. So if people want to look it up, the web address is sciencedebate2008.com. And essentially, this started back in around November 2007. A small group of about six people. They were two screenwriters, a physicist, a marine biologist, a philosopher, and a science journalist, started thinking about innovation and America's policy, specifically as it relates to the candidates at the time. There were several candidates. So they've put out this survey, finally, once we came to two different candidates for the parties, and put out the top 14 questions. They started with 3,400 questions and somehow came up with a criteria to whittle this down to 14 questions. And the candidates have finally answered everything from national security to technology and education to pandemics and biosecurity and innovation in this country.
All right. Give me an example. One thing that you and I are both interested in is education. What do we know about these guys, these two candidates, and the intersection of education and technology?
Well, they both, as it relates to this, the answers in the side-by-side comparisons, they both obviously see that education is critical to 21st century and that to our economy, to our innovation, to our growth as a digital strong nation, we have to put more into education. I was a little shocked that I didn't see more details from Obama. I saw more specific details from McCain. For example, in McCain's answer, he said that he would devote 60% of Title II funding for incentive bonuses for higher performing teachers. So that's something that we can actually hold him accountable to. He also said that he would allocate $250 million through a competitive grant program to support states that commit to expanding online education opportunities. Now, Obama has said that he has proposals that are out there, and he has a comprehensive, what he's calling a 0-5 program that ensures that children enter school ready to learn and will also give them a $4,000 American Opportunity Tax Credit to help them with higher education. He also has some other things in there as well, but it seemed that both of them really straddled the line on understanding that teachers were critical, that we needed to do something more with our education, but both of them in a little bit of ways had some differences in terms of what they would be measurable, what they would be measured on if they were to go into office, specifically for science education.
You mentioned that Senator Obama was not as specific on that aspect. Was there anything else that he was specific on, that good or bad?
Good question. I mean, he was specific on national security, which I thought was interesting because McCain was not that specific on national security. So the question was, what is your view of how science and technology can best be used to ensure national security and where we should put our focus? So Obama kind of goes into specifically what his administration will do in terms of doubling the amount of research dollars for the Department of Defense, putting in more productive research programs in the Department of Homeland Security. And he goes on to kind of explain that. On McCain's side, he kind of just talks about, as president, I will strengthen the military, shore up our alliances, and ensure that the nation is capable of protecting the homeland. Kind of more generic, not as detailed, and not as measurable or accountable.
All right. Well, we've talked about how some of the big players, both in science and in politics, have intersected. But there's also this whole move to really look at the one person called it the folksonomy of the web, how people navigate, how people cluster. And there's something called crowdsourcing. I have never heard of this, but of course you, Mario, have. What is crowdsourcing?
It's a term that wasn't coined by me, but crowdsourcing is the ability to, it's like an open call. Think of it like an open call. And what we're finding is many companies in the Web 2.0 era are now using this. And what it does is it replaces traditional tasks that are done typically by employees, and you outsource those tasks to the public at large. So, for example, the public may be invited to develop a new technology or carry out a new design task. It's basically making the crowd, the public, part of your design or development team.
Now, there's a sneaker company, RYZ. They did something interesting online. Explain to me how they put their act together.
Yeah, this is really neat. So what we have here, it's called Rise Wear, R-Y-Z Wear. And the head of this company left Adidas. He was the former president for United States for Adidas, Rob Langstaff. And he left and he said, you know what? What if we gave the power, what if we flipped the business model upside down and allowed everyday people to develop their own designs for sneakers? So you go to the website, you download a template, you use your computer software, you apply your design to the shoe, you upload it, and then the community votes. If your design wins, guess what? It ends up being in the store and you get a revenue share, a royalty off of the sales of the shoes and some type of upfront stipend. So you can think about this from a business perspective. He has no design team. He has no millions of dollars on marketing. It takes a Air Jordan type of tennis shoe 12 to 18 months to hit the market. He can have a shoe designed and in the market in 6 weeks.
How do you think this is going to be used in the future, not specifically for shoes, but by nonprofits and for-profits?
It's a great point. I mean, it's already being seen. I mean, Threadless.com is a t-shirt company, has kind of done the same thing. We've seen it empowering news from places like Dig.com, where it started taking the public to say, hey, what's the most relevant and important news to you? That shows up on the front page. You can look at MoveOn.org in the political arena has kind of shown how nonprofits can use this. But I think nonprofits are essentially positioned well, Farai, because they're volunteer-powered, they're community-based organizations, and they're in the perfect position to tap into this wisdom of crowds. So I think they really should start to understand and research this more because they can utilize this, especially when they're dealing with strapped budgets.
All right, Mario, thanks for the update.
Thanks, Farai. I appreciate it.
Mario Armstrong is News & Note's regular technology contributor. He joined us from the studios of the Baltimore Sun.